How are you? Welcome in. It is a Patriots Monday here on WEEI Afternoons. Christian Arcan, Andy Hart, and you at 617-779-7937. Lots to get to today after a disaster in the square mile of London. A brutal loss for your New England Patriots despite a pretty good game from Drake May. Patriots now a six-game losing skid. Type of game that you just look at and wonder what is going on with this team and how could it go so badly so quick, especially, Andy, considering, as many have pointed out today from the morning show up until middays, up until right now, is that you looked pretty good to start off. You looked like an actual competent football team. You looked like an offense that had a plan, right? I mean, it was like they had the walkthrough and everything. They had a game plan. They had guys they were looking for. They had certain play calls and rhythms and cadences that it seemed like were indicative of an offense that we hadn't really seen yet, an offense that strikes first, that's efficient, that's able to go out there and pick up yards, get in the end zone, get into field goal range against a bad Jacksonville defense. And then the second quarter started, and it was over. I mean, that's really all you can say. Giving up 22 points in that second quarter was abysmal, and it didn't really get much better after that, despite some bright spots there from Drake May. We'll get to his day. We'll talk to him today as well. We'll also speak at some point with Jonathan Jones. Can't give you an exact time on either one of them yet because, well, they just got back from England, and we're not sure exactly what their schedules are, but that's the agenda here for today. Where do you want to start, Andy? Where do you start with a game like this?
The embarrassing part of it, like the embarrassment of we saw the worst football game between Miami and New England. Miami gets the win. You get a chance to go over to London to get away a little bit, neutral site game against a team that is playing really poorly. As Kendrick Bourne said leading into the week, right? Two bad teams playing bad football. We'll see what happens. Well, one of them got their get-right game, and the Patriots are clearly becoming a get-right opponent for a lot of teams. That's why I continue. I don't want to hear any more about winnable games and the schedule softening up. There's nothing softer than you as the New England Patriots. Your head coach called you out for it. And no, I don't believe you're just playing soft. They're a soft football team, mentally and physically. On the field, defensively, there are few things that are more demoralizing than another team running the ball on you and never actually hitting big plays.
Nope.
Never. 13-yard run. Longest run for Tank Bigsby. Most of the time it was like six. I can get six whenever I want.
He's not particularly fast.
Nope.
Like, he's kind of just this plodding guy who gets into the... And it really, I mean, it's not like he had to do that much. They ran up the middle every single time.
Yes.
They weren't running sweeps.
You could have done it.
They weren't going off tackle. They were just, boom, right behind the center, right behind the guard.
Yep.
And there was nothing the Patriots could do about it.
And guys would get, you know, the yards after contact. The contact would be like 7 yards downfield.
Yep.
It's not like he's breaking an arm tackle. No, there'd be a nice little gap or alley, and they'd show you the replay behind the camera angle, and you're like, oh, yeah, he just really had to run straight ahead. There wasn't a lot of skill involved with that. And I don't know where this team goes, because this team has problems across the board on so many levels. On the field is one thing. That's obvious on Sunday for 3 hours.
Yep.
But all this social media crap, the culture crap, the coach calling them out, then the coach having to backpedal and say, no, I didn't say we're a soft team. We played softly. Like, I don't know what to make of any of this. I'll tell you, there's two things that I feel pretty certain about coming out of that game. And I know it's quick to do both of these things.
I don't think it is.
One of them.
I don't even know what you're going to say, and I don't think it's too quick to say.
One's positive and one's negative. Which you want first?
Let's go with the positive first.
Positive. I'm more positive than ever that you have a franchise quarterback.
Oh, okay. I thought you were going to say I'm positive the team sucks.
No. Or something. Like, I'm all in right, on good, Drake yeah. May. All like, right. you're in the game, so to speak, right? Like, you have a guy that gets you in the game of modern football. I loved that they came out and they let him throw. I loved that he was under pressure and he had to run and made some play with his legs, and he's, you know, just getting past Dizer diving, and he's just getting the foot past, whatever. Love that. Now the flip side. And I know this is premature and disrespectful, but this is the world we live in. We live it every day. Everybody talks about us, and your trolls are going to tell us how much we suck and all this thing.
I don't know about that. No one's ever told me that.
Oh, you should read the internet more.
Okay, I will.
I am not sure. This is the first time I wonder if Gerard Mayo will be the head coach in 2025.
Mm.
I just...
You're there already.
It's too dysfunctional. It's too much of a mess. Now, maybe heads will roll beneath him. You know, they do that thing where the owner meets with the coach and then, oh, suddenly we've decided to fire a coordinator or something.
Yeah.
Kind of a job-saving act by the head coach. Because the coaching on this team is bad in all levels. because he doesn't run either side, correct? We agree on that?
Doesn't seem like it.
That seems like DeMarcus Covington is doing the deal on defense. We know Alex Van Pelt.
Doing it poorly, by the way.
Very poorly.
Yeah.
Where's Mina Kimes talking about this defense? I'm still waiting for Dan Orlovsky to talk about Drake May and Mina Kimes to talk about this defense. How come people just throw stuff out there and never acknowledge when they were 100%
Again,
wrong?
That's something I've never done and will never do, and I don't understand why people would do that.
Yeah. But am I premature in this? Because
it is a focus point.
I thought there was no way that Jerod Mayo could be in trouble. Because we all knew he was doing it. Oh, it's a multi-year thing.
Yep.
We're going to win. I don't know if it's this year or next year. And then Robert Kraft, in the Mike Reese story before the Jets game, it was something about, we know there's tough times ahead of us, but I think I have the right people and all that. It is getting ugly, and it is getting ugly fast. And correct me if I'm wrong, they're 1-6, right?
You are not wrong. They're 1-6,
okay.
Yes.
So that means they haven't reached the midway point of the season yet.
Nope.
Ugliness is still way around the corner or over the horizon.
2 weeks for that. I mean, it's 17 games. But, yeah, it's next week or the week after, I'd say.
What is ugly going to look like if this isn't ugly yet? Because pressure is going to build. It's not going to get better. And I agree with Jerod Mayo.
I think this is ugly. I think this.
Oh, it's ugly.
You're playing better teams from here on out, and losing like this to better teams isn't as bad. Losing like this to the Jaguars makes it extra ugly.
What about getting embarrassed by better teams?
Well, you got
more so than
you got embarrassed by the Jaguars.
See, no. I think there could be true embarrassments on the horizon. Cowboys, Saints last year type
49-7 type
of
stuff. Yeah,
where like everybody's having fun, or what the Lions did 2 weeks ago, where the other team is like running trick plays, really just to take away your manhood, to show you that they can do it. I think that's the exact opposite. I think there's tougher games on the horizon. You could have one of those Josh Allen games where he never punts.
Yeah.
And he just makes you as you know what in front of the fans here or the fans there or the fans in both places. So, no, these winnable games, soft schedule, all this, you're living it, and it's as ugly as it can be. They stink on the field. They seem to kind of stink in the locker room, right? I mean, there's a lot of finger-pointing.
In the locker room, on Instagram, pretty much anywhere. It seems like there's a lot of dysfunction here, which we'll document it all.
So Evan Lazar, does he deserve an apology?
Yes, absolutely
mutiny,
he does.
Mutiny
he
may does. Have been the wrong word.
Mm.
Mutiny, I don't know. But the...
Well, the mutiny was about putting May in, right? It wasn't about this other stuff. Like the mutiny,
right.
was like, hey, how come Drake May's not out there with us right now? How come he's not part of this? And I don't know if a mutiny was about to happen for that or not, but either way, there's a lot of bad feelings in that clubhouse. Yeah.
Jacoby Brissett told us it was bad journalism by a guy that has no idea what he's talking about.
Mm-hmm.
Do you think he had no idea what he was talking about?
I think he's starting
to feel the other way.
I think it's probably
like
the other
that
way,
not that it was sourced, that it was just observed. And he said it. I was in that locker room. People were like pointing fingers. We keep getting that. To the point where Jerod Mayo has to clarify, well, when Kendrick Bourne talks, is he talking about the off-the-field incidents that have crept up lately? Are we talking about locker room incidents? Are we talking about guys having egos? Are we talking about guys getting sick and their belly doesn't feel good because maybe they stayed out too late?
Mm-hmm.
That's a working theory we have on this show already. Didn't strike me. I'm going to credit Brian, whether he wants the credit or not. The whole people shouldn't be out late and need to eat better. And can you tie that circumstantially to Pop Douglas being sick and not being able to fulfill his commitments to the offense?
Well, who else is he talking about?
I have no idea.
There's a wide receiver in the room with him who he knows and maybe was hanging out. I don't know. I don't know if they're fried. I don't know what they're doing. But I do know that it was a wide receiver saying it. And when you had the Devon Godchow and Aquale yesterday, he's been talking about how these other guys on the defense aren't doing what they're doing. They're talking about their own side.
That's how I
feel like they're talking about the people that they are playing with directly. That's what it seems like. That's where it seems like a lot of these problems are.
Absolutely. And
it's not the defense is blaming the offense. The offense is blaming the defense.
No.
They're blaming each other because they all stink.
Again, I'll go back to it. As much as it pains me because I don't get along with the guy all that well, Evan Lazar said the offense is fighting the offense and the defense is fighting the defense when he made those comments.
And that's true.
And that seems like what's happening, which is non-traditional. Isn't it more traditional and normal for the offense to point fingers at the defense?
Yeah, these guys are holding this bat.
Right.
Look at this.
Last year.
Exactly.
When it was like, I guess we have to give up no points if we're ever going to win a football game around here. Now everybody stinks, right? Across the board.
The only person with any standing to even say something like that is Drake May.
Yeah.
He's the only one who can go out there and be like, all of you guys on the defense, you guys and you guys, you're all making me look bad.
And coaches,
right now
too.
They're teetering on mutiny in that locker room.
And I don't know if mutiny was the word he necessarily wanted, but other than that, I think the spirit of his comment is being proven more and more true by the week because this team is teetering on something. And I don't know how much lower it can go. He just got embarrassed on an international stage against a one-win football team who I think there was a shot was going to fire their coach if they lost this game.
I think there was a big shot of that.
Right?
Yeah, absolutely.
So you just saved a guy's job. In doing so, maybe you started to put your own guy's job in jeopardy because I think Jerod Mayo, I think he probably knew, thought he knew what he was in for, and now reality has hit.
Yeah.
And this is way harder and way more stressful and anxious and everything than it could have been. And he's now seeing what went wrong with Matt Patricia in Detroit or Josh McDaniels in, well, Denver and
everywhere.
Vegas.
Yeah, right. Everywhere he went. Yep.
Because it snowballs, right?
I mean,
losing.
Genie and Cleveland, all the guys.
Right.
Yeah, right, exactly.
And I give Mayo credit. I agree with him 1,000%. Anybody can lead when you're 6-1.
Right.
It's easy to lead from in front. But when you're 1-6, this is where we're going to find out what Jerod Mayo is and what kind of relationship he has with not just the people beneath him, the players and the coaches, but the people above him, the Crafts, and how much they are in for the long haul of problematic games, probably problematic days at this very building when they look and go, what time's the crowd going to get here for this 1 o'clock game? Because
right.
It's 1:30 and there's nobody in the seats kind of thing.
Absolutely. And I think you're right on the edge of that. If not there already, I mean, the season's over. Like, no one's going to be coming to these games with any urgency. It'll be something to do on Sunday. You're not expecting there to be any kind of push at the end of the season. I'll be surprised if they win another game this year at this point, honestly. That's sort of what I'm looking at. As good as Drake May looks, and that's what's really upsetting about this, is that you seem to have the quarterback.
Yeah, you do.
Out of all the quarterbacks who played yesterday and Thursday, he was like top three in terms of his stats and numbers, his completion percentage, yards, touchdowns, no interceptions, rushing yard, like all of that. There's really only a couple of guys who had comparable or better numbers than him in the whole league that played yesterday. And I know he was playing against the Jaguars, but that's not really the point. The point is the offensive line was still bad, still a bunch of penalties. Penalties on guys like Hunter Henry, which you can't be having that.
And
Jalen Polk still dropping everything. Pop Douglas is on the sideline crapping himself. Like nothing was really working, and the kid still had a really nice day.
Dan Marino-esque. He didn't get the 3 touchdowns he needed to fulfill whatever that stat requirement was, but there was another stat making the rounds.
What are you talking about?
The 3 touchdowns in each of your first 2 starts. It was only Dan Marino and him that could have done it.
I see. Okay, right.
Yeah. He didn't get the 3rd touchdown, but yards-wise, I believe the yard total and touchdown total, only he and Dan Marino have started their first 2 games as well as this, and he cleaned it up. He had no turnovers.
Yep.
Not saying he couldn't have had turnovers.
He should have had 2 interceptions, but yeah.
Well, you know what? I'm sick of should have haves because everybody tells me Patrick Mahomes should have had 800 interceptions the last 3 years or whatever. So if you don't, you don't. They don't count unless they're actually intercepted. So Drake May. I get another positive, too.
Oh?
The Andy plan's coming together nicely for that number 1 pick.
That's looking to be the case, yes.
So that's good and bad, though.
You're in the driver's seat for that right now at 1-6.
Yeah. It could go south. You got winnable games, as people will tell me in the coming weeks.
Not going to go south.
And the other issue there is I'm a little less excited about that in light of the top of the draft not looking like there's going to be this bidding war for quarterbacks. Your guy, Shadur, maybe. I don't know whether
Cam Ward. Yeah.
Maybe. Like, you need somebody to become the front runner for that number 1 pick so you can trade down. Although the problem there is freaking Banks had a bad game the other day, so now we're back to Will Campbell. Boy, when you start analyzing the draft in October, it's really problematic.
Yeah, it is. And there's still a lot of college football to be played here, too. So we'll see. You know, injuries can happen. Guys can suddenly make big pushes for the Heisman at the end there. I mean, I think there's good quarterbacks in college football right now. And what it's really going to be about is the desperation of the NFL teams.
Yes.
That's what's going to kick this into overdrive.
Carolina, we're talking to you.
If there's a bunch of guys out there, then yeah, you're gonna want, if you have the first overall pick, one of them is going to be considered the best one. And that's something that you're going to be able to hopefully flip and do what you want with. I don't know exactly. Either way, it seems like you're headed right for that. And when you mention Jerod Mayo, just not to jump off that topic real quick, and him potentially being in trouble here, I wasn't really of that mind, really, for the whole season, thinking this is way too tied into Kraft.
Yep.
Way too tied into his decision and his ego and sort of all of that. And you can't just give up on him after 1 year after saying it's like, you know, how I pick my wives is how I pick Jerod Mayo. But the way they're losing, you know, if you were losing these games by a score or two, then I think you'd have it. Like, if they lost that game by 8 points yesterday, if it was a 1-score game and they lost, we'd be looking at it like, wow, you lost to the Jaguars, that sucks. But, hey, you were in it, and the QB had a good game. You lost that by 16 points. You got blown out by the Texans by 3 scores. You got blown out by the Jets. You got blown out by the night. Like, you're getting blown out every week.
And for me, it's not even really as much about the on-the-field stuff, because I think the on-the-field, I thought this team stunk. It's why I thought they could go 0-17 as of May.
Yep.
And that was reading the talent on the field. The issue for me is you do stink, and you're facing all these challenges. You're soft on the field. And then we've had 3 separate incidents with negative interactions with the police. We've had at least three incidents of social media, questionable usage of that. I mean, we got a guy, KJ Osborne, yesterday, who's bitching that he was told he was going to be inactive and then he had to be active and then he caught the ball. Mm-hmm. Like, what are you bitching about? You got a chance to go on the field and compete. You're going to bitch about it on social media? Like, what do they owe you?
I still don't understand why he did, why he put that out there.
I don't either.
Like, his agent doing it? Still, I'd be like, hey, man, like, that's our personal text conversation. Don't put that on Instagram. And then he's like, yeah, let me repurpose this and put it out there, too. It's like, no, KJ, no.
That's generation.
Don't do that.
And then to extend it further, Giardi says that the guy's not even really his agent. He's never actually negotiated a contract, according to the NFLPA.
Well, they're just good friends.
He's like some sort of advisor or something. But so you have issues in your locker room, you have issues on social media, you have issues in the community, you have issues on the football field. What exactly is Gerard Mayo handling and taking control of? And this isn't meant to be a personal teardown of him. I think it's a really difficult job he's trying to do. When you lose, it goes south in a hurry. We've seen it everywhere. That's just the reality of the situation. He wasn't overly prepared for this. I mean, he's been a coach for 5+ years,
mm-hmm.
right? Like, Robert made the decision before he had ever coached a game.
That's true.
So I think he was put in a tough position. Now, he took it. Don't get me wrong. He took it. He accepted it. He wanted it. But this whole leader of men, the leadership is lacking on the field, off the field, and in the locker room. Right? Like, that's
absolutely
fair. That's just factual. That's not a pot shot at Gerard Mayo.
It seemed like he had something after week one. And since then, it has seemed like he has no control or influence on these guys whatsoever is what it seems like.
And it's everybody, in a sense. Like, Hunter Henry. False start again. Okay, so that undisciplined level with a captain.
Mm-hmm.
Devon Godshaw, who's a veteran, longtime player. I don't know where he's at in terms of how he feels about this team. Because then I look at it, and you're right. When you talk about, when they talk, you tend to wonder, is it people in their room? Mm-hmm. If a receiver talks, is he looking around his receiver room?
Right.
Well, if Daniel Okwale talks, I look around the D-line room. And earlier in the year, we were questioning Keon White, and is he freelancing? And his production has dropped off the map since the first couple weeks. But I would look at Devon Godshaw.
Trevor Lawrence, I don't even think he had to wash his uniform. His uniform was cleaner than my mother's kitchen floor after that game. They didn't even come close to touching him. Like, that was ridiculous. I thought at the very least, all right, you got a Jaguars O-line here that you can maybe exploit a little bit. And he dropped back to pass and had all day long.
The pass rush was non-existent.
Did not exist.
But if... So who held out in training camp, correct me, I believe it was Devon Godshaw. I believe people tell me he's like one of the best run-stopping defensive linemen in football, correct?
Yeah, Bill said that.
And you can't stop the run.
Nope.
So is it a possibility that he's part of the problem, not part of the solution? And if I'm a teammate of his, and this isn't fair, I know this, but I'm just going to say it anyway. If I'm a teammate of his and I look over and he's always recording podcasts and he's a fashionista and he's always got the scarf and the beret on, I'm like... Maybe dial it down a notch and just, I don't know, help us stop the run.
The best defensive lineman in the league.
Yeah, best defensive lineman in the league. And they just had the ball run down their throat by not Derrick Henry and the Ravens. Not one of, you know, not the 49ers with Christian McCaffrey or like, it was the freaking Jaguars and Tank Bigsby.
Yep.
At 4 years, death by 1,000 cuts, I believe their head coach put it. Maybe the defensive lineman, Devon Godshaw, should stop one of those 1,000 cuts, a couple of them, just help out. And I'm going to get all the Patriot fans going to be like, no Barmore, no Bentley, no Peppers. Okay. You got Godshaw.
Yep.
You got Tavai. You got Duggar or Duggar, whatever your preference is.
Mm-hmm.
You still have guys that can make plays. You still have
who should be able to do something against that. Who should be able to adjust to that. Yes.
Right.
That's not some exotic thing that, oh, these guys don't know how to defend it. It is running up the middle over and over again, 17 times in a row.
And it's not like they're one of these teams where they spread you out with so many weapons that you get soft up the middle. You put Gonzalez and Brian Thomas, and you're like, well, I'm going to do that. Your guy had a nice drop, by the way, over the middle, Christian Kirk.
Kirk did, yes, he did.
Stud receiver, my ass.
Yeah, you know, he was all right. Thomas had a great, great catch.
I think
that
Thomas,
catch he had with Gonzalez where he tried to knock it out, that was a great play.
I feel better and better about my assertion that he is going to be better than Malik Nabers and one of the top 5 receivers in football in his career.
Yeah, I mean, we'll see about that.
I would take him in a heartbeat.
If he stays in Jacksonville, maybe not. But either way, yeah, we're off and running here. It's a Patriots Monday. 617-779-7937 is the phone number. We got room for you here on the phone lines if you'd like to react to what we just saw yesterday very, very early in London. We'll be speaking with Jonathan Jones. We'll be speaking with Drake May over the course of the day. Not exactly sure what time yet. We'll let you know as soon as we do. When we come back, we'll talk about the way this game started and how good Drake May looked for most of it and where where it all went wrong. May's Day, in retrospect, taking it all into account. That's all coming up right after Joe Braverman tells you what's trending.